as good as Vladdy is, as good as we believe he's going to be, this is still going to be a development year for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. There's obviously a lot of hype around Vladdy. We are all very anxious to actually watch him on a big league field at some point here in 2019. I have not seen Vladdy play a whole lot, so I'm one of the curious ones, and I can't wait to see it. I think Charlie Montoya, much like myself, is the disciple of Felipe Alou, and you just mentioned it. And that's usually what you'll do with a younger player, start them lower in the order and let them work their way up. This could be an exception for two reasons. One, that Vladdy is who he is, and the potential there is to be a perennial all-star. And the second thing is you've got a team that is in, as we said, rebuild mode with a lot of young bodies, so why not throw them into the fire? Now, mm-hmm. You've got Smoke and Morales, I think, to handle the middle of the lineup, no problem. But I still could see him slotting in after them and then working his way up there. The leadoff spot is very intriguing, but it's always good for a young player. And we have to continue to remember how young Vladdy is. And I know it's almost not even something to consider anymore because he is so exceptional. But I still think development-wise, I would take steps slowly. And mm-hmm. I would do what you just talked about, maybe whether it's fifth or sixth right there, and then work his way up, because we know he will work his way up that lineup.
What is he going to have to get used to as he goes through spring training, if he starts out in AAA and works his way up? What in terms of how people are going to approach him, what is Vladdy going to have to get used to?
You know, the biggest adjustment, I think, for any player, let alone somebody with the hype that Vladdy has, I think, are the failures. And now when you bobble a ball at third base in AA, it's not on the news that night. It's not all across the country. You don't have 15 reporters in your face. So, you know, I think, of course, there'll be a lot of positives, but we know already, we're hearing the whispers already. People are talking about his weight. People are talking about his first step quickness and his third base ability. People are already talking about how he's going to be moved to first base at some point. I mean, it just baffles me how you don't give somebody a chance first before we even begin those conversations. But it might be the negative stuff. It might be the failures. And I'm sure it'll get to a point where he'll be like, are you kidding me? They're in my face every time I miss a ball or make a bad throw. Mm-hmm. The positive is going to be easy, right? Life is easy when things are good, when we're hitting and making all the plays. We'll answer all the questions till midnight. But it'll be the negatives and the failures, I think, that will probably compound if they continue. And he's a human being like all of us. I mean, that stuff gets irritating when people continue going to the well. If that happens, I'm not saying to expect negatives and failures from Vladdy, but if that happens, I think that's the toughest adjustment for a young player moving from the minor leagues to the major leagues. It's the media coverage.
Right. And again, these are Grapefruit League games, but we'll be getting a sense of how Charlie Montoya views his team. I mean, I know that Ross Atkins made the point yesterday that they're, at least initially, you expect to see Teoscar Hernandez and Billy McKinney in a platoon and left. I'm intrigued as to who's going to lead off for this team. Because, I mean, we've gone through the iterations of Kevin Pillar, Devin Travis. I don't know, Freddie Galvis. I'm trying to work through this. I don't know who the leadoff hitter is on this team.
Well, I think you just mentioned one for me, and unfortunately it might be a platoon to start, but I think Billy McKinney for right now, I'd like to see up there against right-handers. We saw him a little bit last year. I like the at-bat he gives you. Mm-hmm. He seems to bat a little bit. He's got some pop in his bat. He's got enough patience where he can get on base at a decent clip. I like all of those things. Now, if you're going to platoon with Teoscar, now you've got a problem, because now is going to be Devin Travis, not a guy that walks much. Kevin Pillar, not. We've seen that experiment. That, to me, is where the problem starts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think McKinney jumps out for me right away. Is Gurriel that type of guy? Not sure. You know, the times have changed. I know you don't need a prototypical leadoff hitter in this game anymore, but, boy, I still want a guy that's going to get on base and do something. You can't have a guy with a 300 on-base percentage leading off, I don't think.
Right. We're going to see Ryan Borucki in the first game of the Grapefruit League season. And, again, this is all – for great pitchers, Grapefruit League is all about getting their work in. But I think it's also an indication on the part of Ryan or the Blue Jays that they need Ryan Borucki they need to see him take a step forward this year. They need to see him develop after that pretty good rookie season. What do you think the key will be for Ryan? Is there a specific pitch in particular he needs to find mastery of, Joe, to take that next step?
Well, it's a funny question you asked me, Jeff, because before I answer what you just asked, I got to laugh and say when I heard Ross Atkins talk about that fifth spot being up for grabs and how it's not Ryan Barucki's, I say give me a break. Mm-hmm. What I saw from him last year in the big leagues, he is in my rotation, and quite frankly, I would tell him right now, you are in my rotation. We've always said you cannot or you don't want to get caught up with spring training evaluations, September evaluations. This guy more than held his own at the major league level last year. He is in my rotation. I don't care what he does this spring, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. He is in the starting rotation. Go out and be yourself. Work on your things. Now, we know it's the breaking ball that he has to improve on. The fastball and changeup combination has been very good. He had the slower breaking ball, then he sped it up, and the breaks were different. It looked like he was kind of all over the map there last year with that breaking pitch. So, to me, that's what he really needs to hone in on, because now when you hone in on that breaking ball, whatever it is you want to come up with, whichever one it is that you want to come up with, but now you've got three quality pitches to go to battle every 5 days. And I think that is a no-brainer. Ryan Barucki's in the rotation. I love what he did last year. And as I said, I don't care if he struggles this spring. I don't put much stock into it. I want him to work on his craft and be ready for the start of the season in Toronto.
Joe, you played in an organization, the Expos, that made its mark developing young players, getting them to the majors, making proper decisions on players for the most part. What's it like being a minor leaguer in a system where you know that player development is being stressed? You know, like, you always knew that with the Expos, right? There was always a chance that there's always a chance that you could get a job because development was stressed, right? And there weren't a lot of givens every year with that team.
Yeah, it's great to be a player in those organizations. And coming up with the Expos, you knew that it wasn't a team that was going to have an exorbitant payroll, so they weren't going to go out and sign big-time free agents. So it was going to be a youthful team. And when you're in the minor leagues, I mean, obviously it's better when you're a prospect as opposed to being a suspect, mm-hmm. which many of us were. But the opportunities are there. My first big league call-up came right out of the blue. I wasn't even playing every day, but they just wanted to make a move. Felipe wanted a third catcher that could play defense up there. So those are the opportunities, I think, that arise on teams like that that may not arise on teams that have higher, more solidified rosters and payrolls. So for these kids in big league camp, and even some of these kids in the minor league camps right now for the camp for the Blue Jays, they have great opportunities because you know they're not going to go sign, you know, they signed Shoemaker and Richard for the rotation. They signed Freddie Galvis. They're not going to do much more than that. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to call these guys fillers, but they're fillers, right? They're filling out roster spots right now so that you don't have to rush some of these other kids. I think Sean Ripoli needs some more fine-tuning in the minor leagues. I think he needs that in AAA Buffalo this year. Pannone probably as well. So give those guys more time. You sign a couple free agents in the rotation to do that. But when you're a guy in the minor leagues, and it doesn't matter whether you're a position player or a pitcher, but you know that opportunity is going to be there. I like the way they have handled the whole player development thing. Jeff, you know, times have changed. We've seen now in this era, more so than when I played and when you covered me with the Expos, guys went one level at a time. It was like Midwest League for a year. Then it was High A for a year. Then it was Double A probably for 2 years. And that was just the norm. And now it's like if a pitcher is throwing 97 in A ball, he could end up in the big leagues. Or if you're a position player, you could end up in big leagues from A ball the same year. That just didn't happen before. And I don't agree with it. I know there's one school of thought to say throw them in the fire at the big league level, see what they can do. But the negatives that can be associated with that are the long-term harmful effects, and we've seen them, maybe like a Dalton Pompey could be a good example. Mm-hmm. And as opposed to going ahead and going through the levels, getting that experience, I think there is something to be said for being in one place, whether it's, say, High A or Double A, for the full season, because most players, pitchers or position players, they're going to have a lot of ups and a lot of downs, and they're going to have to ride that wave. And as a hitter, when you're struggling for a few weeks, how are you going to figure it out? That's how you become a better hitter, so that ultimately when you do get to the big league level, you're not thrown into that fire and you don't necessarily know how to handle it. So I think those developmental years are very important, and that's why the player development push the Blue Jays have been talking about for the last few years here, I think it's critical and it's very important, and I think it will pay off in the end when we see these, quote, prospects. I use that term loosely because nobody knows how they're all going to turn out.
Right.
But I think it gives them the best opportunity to succeed at the next level.
Yeah, and I think when we see, you know, we're going to see that this spring. We're going to see a guy like Kevin Biggio get a real shot at making this team this year. And you know, Charlie's already said that, look, we are going to be working in guys like Bo Bichette in games, even though Bo probably won't, I mean, they're not going to say he's going to make it, but even though Bo won't make the team, we're going to have him start some Grapefruit League games. Like, you really do get the sense, and it's probably no surprise knowing Ross and Mark, but you really do get the sense that there is a plan in place for every one of these minor leaguers. And you're right. I think there's going to be a much more gradual approach than a lot of other organizations. And it's going to be interesting because Tampa Bay, you know, a lot of this kind of gets back to Tampa Bay, and that's where Charlie's experience is from. Tampa Bay hasn't been afraid to be bold at times either, though, you know, and that it's going to be interesting to see where that balance falls.
That will be very interesting. And you mentioned a couple of key names there. So I'm very curious, too, to watch a Bichette this spring, watch a Biggio. And what you described right there about starting them in a spring training game, very different than the regular season, but that's great because that's that experience. You know, there's a difference. Even if it's spring training and you're a young player, when you're in that starting lineup, oh, let me tell you something. You kind of put your shoulders back and you're walking around pretty proud right there. I'm the starting lineup of a big league game today. That does matter. And I think that experience will pay off for them. Now, again, I think for two players like that, they were in Double-A last year. Triple-A is the perfect place for them this year because I do think there is a difference. You know, Double-A, you got a lot of those big arms as pitchers, and they got some secondary pitches. But now you go to Triple-A, maybe you get a little bit more experienced guys that know how to pitch a little bit more now, pitch backwards a little bit more. So that level is important too, and that's why I think they'll both be there. They need that experience. But absolutely, in spring training, throw them into the fire and start them in a big league game because that's a big deal for kids, especially young kids coming up trying to make an impression.
What are you most, when you get down to Florida, what are you most interested in seeing? You know, like, I like asking people this before they go down and then when they're down. There's the game you used to play with JP, I'd always say, what did you see that really impressed you? And what are you most interested in seeing when you get down there? You know, Vladdy's a big deal. Obviously. Like, I've told people, for me, I want to see guys like Kevin Smith because I haven't seen them play and I keep hearing about them. Those are the guys I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and closer to the big league level, I think what I'm curious to watch, and two things come to mind for me. I'm not even Vladdy yet. We're all curious to see him, and I'm anxious to see him, but you just assume he's going to be a star, so I'm not too worried about it. But two things, I think the battle behind the plate, if it's a battle, you know, Danny Jensen, of course, is the leading candidate to be the starting catcher, and I'm anxious to watch him more. I got a glimpse of him at the end of the season there last year, and that was good. I want to see Reese McGuire more because I got a feeling those two could be battling whether the season starts with Jansen and Luke Maley as the backup, which I can see happening, and then Reese is in AAA. But I'd like to see those two more. I haven't seen enough of either Jansen or McGuire yet, so I want to continue to have my eyes on them, both offensively and defensively. And then this whole season, I think I'm going to be anxious to watch Teoscar Hernandez. This guy has tremendous potential. We have seen him hit baseballs as hard as anyone, as far as anyone. But then, of course, we know the downside of what he has, a lot of swing and miss, and also the defensive shortcomings. Can you become a better outfielder? I think you can. I don't think he's going to turn into a Gold Glover, but play an adequate left field. That's all you got to do. But with his offensive upside, you got to remember, he's still very young into his career, and players continue to learn about themselves, learn about how their body works, how their swing works. And hopefully this year will be a good year for that in watching Teoscar Hernandez continue to try to figure it out. Because of that offensive upside, he's exciting to watch for me every time he steps to the plate, despite some of the frustrations that we all see when he chases pitches. But there's a lot there. And that, to me, has a potential to be, you know, like a star left fielder. Again, not a defensive left fielder, but if you can just adequately catch the balls and make the plays you're supposed to make, you don't have to be a star out there. But the offensive upside to me is very intriguing from Teoscar Hernandez, and I'll be watching that all season.
Joe, we had Danny Jansen on earlier this week, and we talked about the plans the Jays have, and Ross has talked about this, how their catchers are going to have wristbands with, you know, signals.
On
them. Oh yes, they are going to do that. They are going to have those little flappy quarterback wrist.
Oh.
That's why I was asking you. I was hoping to get that reaction. That apparently is going to be a thing. Look, you're going to be working with young. At some point, it's going to be McGuire and Jansen. You know, God bless Luke Maley, but at some point, it's going to be McGuire and Jansen. What's the danger here with a young catcher relying on those? And I should point out to people that, I mean, it's been done in college for a long time. J.P. Aaron Seabee used to talk about how he had those little wristbands on in college, but what's the danger here?
Well, first of all, I was having a very enjoyable morning until you just brought this up. So you can tell how I feel about catchers wearing wristbands. Here's what the way I feel about that is that I really dislike seeing this game continually going to a point where you're turning players into robots. I think they all have physical skills on the field, but another very, very important skill is right between your ears and seeing the game and feeling the game and having the pulse of the game. And as a catcher, that's probably what I took most pride in, is reading hitter swings and what pitch should I go to next. Look, you have meetings before every series and before every game. As a catcher, you get with your starting pitcher, you go over every opposing hitter, strengths, weaknesses, how we're going to attack him. That should be in your head. And I don't think it's too much to ask to remember nine guys. And if a pinch hitter comes in, you've got some. I it's my understanding that these are just going to be guides just to help in a particular situation. Hey, maybe I can take a peek, but why have that crutch? I don't like it. I'm not resistant to change, but I think what you're doing is you're giving people something to lean on, and you're taking away that human element. And I think it's a very important element of feeling the game. And understanding what's happening in front of you. I'll be talking to Charlie about this. Let me tell you, he's an old teammate of mine, and I know that he's probably all for it. I want to hear his explanation. I will be telling him exactly what I'm saying right now, why I don't like it. I'm sure he'll have an answer for it. I look forward to that conversation, and I don't want to be that old school guy. I think that's an important part of this game, because if you start, and that's why I'm not a fan of the outfielders having little cards in their back pockets. Like, you should know where to play. You should read the swings when a guy fouls the ball off to move a step here or there. I know they're guidelines, but I just don't want to take that human element out of the game.
Yeah, no, it is going to be interesting seeing where the balance falls on all these things, you know, because it's pretty clear that pardon me. It's pretty clear that in bringing Charlie Montoyo and this coaching staff over, these guys have a pretty clear cut plan about how they want things run, and it's like anything else, best laid plans, right? And there's going to have to be some fudging of the, some erasing of the margins, some expanding of the margins, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. I mean, that to me, that's going to be one of the spring training storylines. How's this whole new the logistics going to work? Because the Jays are going to run a game differently. I mean, I can't put it any other way. They are going to run a game differently than they have at any other point in their career. It's going to be fascinating to see.
It will be, and that comes from the top, and then to the manager, and Charlie comes from Tampa, where we know analytics are a huge thing. And listen, this is not an anti-analytics thing. This to me is more about using all the information. You know what I think of analytics, Jeff, is back years ago, when we played, I think there's always been analytics, because that's what that is data and information. We had data and information too, but you know what the data and information I had as a catcher was? This guy's swings at the first pitch a lot. Mm-hmm. When he's got two strikes, he'll expand his zone to get him to chase. But now what it is the information has exploded. So there's so much detail now, and that's a fantastic thing. Absolutely. As a catcher, I want all of that information, and I am going to store it, and I am going to utilize it throughout the course of the game to my advantage. Absolutely. That's why you have it. But I just don't want to get to a point where now you're constantly looking at notebooks and then wristbands. And it's like these hitters sometimes when a reliever comes in from the bullpen. And I've talked to some hitters. Some hitters don't like to do it. We see it on TV a lot. You'll see a hitter go to the bench and they'll look in the book and says that, you know, 2-1 counts, you know, 72% of the time he throws a slider and all this thing. That's a lot of information. And sometimes I think we get caught up, and hitters will say, I don't want to know all that. I just want to know he's got fastball, curveball, changeup. And if anything, maybe on that iPad in the dugout, just see it. It's simple. So we just got to be careful not to get too inundated with all of this information. And actually, it can block what you're actually trying to do on the field.